I'd like to call today's council meeting to order. I'd like to welcome everyone who's here today in attendance, and especially our employees. The first thing on the agenda this morning, we're going to do some years of service awards. The Region of Queens is made up of many departments located in different areas. Events like this are a nice opportunity for us to get together as a group and recognize those who are responsible for many of the activities of the municipality. Among the operations of the Region of Queens are the Administrative Building, Hillsview Acres Home for Special Care, Works Department, Grounds Crew, Landfill, Materials Recovery Facility, and Queens Place Amira Center. Today, we are recognizing 16 Region of Queens staff, cumulative total of 200 years of employment. Those here today represent from 5 years to 20 years of service. For 5 years, I would like to ask Secretary Receptionist Penny Benedict to come forward, please. Thank you, Penny. Appreciate it. And you were looking for a picture?
I am. I'm gonna take two because people
wait.
That's one, and here comes two. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Absent today for 5 years of recognition, Rosalyn Roeder, Administrative Manager, Queens Place Amira Center. Nicole Fancy, Resident Care Assistant, Hillsview Acres, and Joanne Levithan, Fitness Attendant, Queens Place Amira Center. So now we will move on to 10 years, and I would ask David Benedict, Capital Works, to come forward. Colin Hartland, Public Works. Dana Henley, Receptionist Secretary, Economic Development Department and Recreation and Community Facilities Department. Chris Womble, Landfill. And Dawn White, Supervisor, Parks and Grounds. Congratulations. And we'll get you to step aside for a second and we'll move through everyone. Colin, thank you. Congratulations. Dana Henley, congratulations, Dana. And Chris Walton, congratulations. And Dawn White. Congratulations. So if we could gather close by. We'll all get together here in front.
Thank you
very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And we'll
have a picture. Oh, great. Next to you look like you know each other. There we go. I'm going to do another one.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
And absent today for 15 years is Valerie Rhino, groundskeeper. Now we'll move to 20 years. On this, the 20th anniversary of amalgamation of the Region of Queens, it is significant to note that these staff members have been with the region since the region came into being and have seen much change in that time. I would ask Jamie Belong, Public Works, to come forward.
All right.
Yeah. Monroe. Yeah. Terry Monroe, Resident Care Assistant, Hillsview Acres. Brad Roeder, Director of Engineering and Public Works. Special Projects Foreman. Congratulations, James.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that so much. Thank you.
And Terry Monroe. Congratulations.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
When you win, we're a biker, so you go.
Raise your hands. That's why. Raise your hands right now. Okay, sure.
Just like everybody else, there's one. And here comes two.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Appreciate that so much. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
I wore my best. I wore my best.
It wasn't on your back.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
And absent today for the 20-year award is Jerry Matthews, Public Works.
Thank you so much.
It has been a pleasure to work with all of you. The knowledge, experience, and strong commitment you have to serving the public, along with the pride you show in representing the region of Queens Municipality, is evident. On behalf of council and the residents of the community, I thank you for your hard work. Okay, we'll move on with the remaining portion of the meeting. Changes and approval to agenda, section two. I have several changes to make to the agenda today. Under in camera to add 17.9, contract negotiations. And under in camera, item 17.8, contract negotiations will be reviewed as the first item in the in camera agenda. Any other changes to the agenda today? Motion for approval of the agenda. Councilor Fancy, Councilor Frelick, any discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor? Unanimous? Thank you. Any presentations to come forward this morning? I'm not seeing any. So we will move on to tabling of petitions. Are there any petitions to table? Any petitions to table today? Hearing none. We'll move on now to the public question comment session. I would ask that members of the public limit themselves to 5 minutes. And please state your name and address. Leon.
Leon Robertson, Common Street in Liverpool. Couple of things, Mr. Mayor. Just wondering, with respect to the sound system, I was wondering, you mentioned the previous councils and so on, if it could be upgraded, because back here it's kind of difficult to hear. The older you get, the harder it is to hear. But I was wondering if perhaps maybe a speaker or something could be put in here. I know they were talking about a fair chunk of change a few years ago to make changes, but perhaps maybe a simple wiring of a speaker for back for this area here would certainly help, because particularly with presentations, it's very, very difficult.
Yes, and I understand exactly.
And you're back here, so you know.
I do. I understand what you're speaking of. We have located the speaker to one side. We are looking the microphone to one side. We're looking for a second. And we will look at the acoustics in the system. It's a work in progress.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, and if we could get something, you know, like a speaker, for example, back here, which may not cost all that much.
And it may be a matter of amplifying what we have there now. So
right.
We will be looking at that as we move forward.
Could I suggest that we could look at something like a lapel mic? It could be connected into the system and just have a lapel mic, so then person would always have the volume right on them, right?
It's an opportunity, but what we have will work if the volume adjustments are set properly and we have enough equipment to cover the area.
Yeah.
I know that we have looked at it in the past, and we're still in the process. We're not there.
We'll put another mic there. That should fix the problem.
Okay.
You're able to hear me today?
Yes, I can hear you at this point. Moving on, I just want to mention there under item 9.1 with respect to in-camera sessions and recordings and so on. I see there's a recommendation there of something that if it goes through that would be looked at and recorded, which apparently now is not happening.
That would be the present system.
Right. But my understanding is, and always was when I was here, is that things are discussed in camera and so on, but if there's action to be taken, it would be the motion would come back to full council.
That does.
Yep,
it does.
Correct.
And it does now. And I'm wondering, because sometimes we don't know, it comes from there, we don't realize it had been in camera, so perhaps maybe any of those motions that come forward, if we mention that, you know, this was in camera and this is the result of our in camera session and the motion and have it passed. And we know that it came from the in camera session.
We'll take that under advisement.
Okay, thank you. And I read the report there. Just one other item, I'm not up to 5 minutes yet, am I?
No.
just looking at the courthouse report and the architect's report and so on, and it looks very nice, the drawings and everything, but $2.2 million is a lot of money. I realize this has been tabled until you look at the, negotiate the renewal of the lease with Mr. Hines. So I just wanted to mention that, and it looks pretty fancy, and I'm wondering if you did want to move the courthouse, if it could be scaled down a bit and still be a nice building.
I expect there are many possibilities moving forward, but at this point it will be left with staff for future discussion and direction.
Okay.
We'll see how it goes later on the agenda today.
And last item, I would just, as I understand this is the last meeting this year and before the New Year's and before Christmas, I would just like to take this opportunity to wish you, Mr. Mayor, your council, and your staff a Merry Christmas and a good New Year.
And thank you, and the same to you and family.
Thank you.
Any other comments, questions from the gallery? Mr. Cox.
Yes, Your Worship. I guess this is a good opportunity to point out to council that the Bob Road is in deplorable condition and we've only had one snowstorm. We've been asking now for, ever since the region has been in existence, for to have the municipality take over the balance of that road. The municipality clears the road as far as the far corner of the cemetery, and from there is DOT. We can get plowed anywhere between 12 and 36 hours after a storm. And when it turns to rain, it turns to ice. And whoever goes through makes a nice little rut. And after that, if your vehicle doesn't fit that rut, you're all over the road. And it's particularly bad for strangers who are coming when they come along to make the turn at the far corner of the cemetery. Oftentimes they end up in the woods, or sometimes they overcompensate and end up in the cemetery on the opposite side. It has been discussed several times, a swap between the region and DOT to have the region take that road over, and then on the other hand to for the DOT to take another portion of the road somewhere that the municipality is involved in. You know, it's very frustrating when you have senior citizens living on a road and you can't get out in the event of an emergency because your road is not plowed. This morning, our road was not plowed, and we have the ruts that I previously described. And this is, it's almost an adventure if you're going over 5 or 10 kilometers an hour to try and get up that road. So what I would ask in discussions with the DOT in regard to transportation matters that they either commit to getting at our road earlier or putting something on onto it so that it remains passable, or for the region to give favorable consideration to taking that portion of the road over. We pay our taxes down there, and all we get is garbage collection. We might see a police car once a year, purely by accident. And apart from that, we don't get any real benefits. We do have two street lights, one at the end of the road and one at the culvert. And so as far as municipal services, this past year our road has been graded 3 times. We got a bonus this year. They plowed just before the snow came. So I would ask your worship that these matters be taken into consideration. And while I'm on my feet, I would like to wish all members of council a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you, Bill Cox. Thank you for bringing that issue forward on the issue of road maintenance. It is well known by the region, and our CAO and I have been involved in an effort with provincial transportation to address many of the issues in Queens regarding to items of control of transportation and infrastructure renewal. It's a work in progress. We had quite a long list, and this is an issue that you raised today that we will be carrying forward on your behalf to see that we reach a successful conclusion. And certainly, we as mayor, council, and staff would like to wish you and all in attendance today Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you, George.
Thank you. Any other comments from the public gallery? Okay. We now, I think, have a comment
from
the council.
Would you like me to do that now? Or
Deputy Mayor McLeod, yes, okay. If you'd like to.
It gives me great pleasure, everyone, to comment and give a little report on the events that were held in Queens a few weeks ago and are continuing on through Queens County. And as you all know, there was a Christmas on the Mersey events. There was a wonderful parade that was organized by the fire departments. And under this public session, I'd like to just give you a little bit of a recap and comments about the events and let everyone know how successful they were and the involvement that our community had. And this was written by Heather, our wonderful communications person here. So I'll just read our comments that she has written for us. There are a lot of things about Queens that make it special, and the way that volunteers and business work together to make things happen is one of those things. We have just come through a very special time in the community 2 weeks ago. Queens County residents were treated to 7 days packed full of Christmas spirit that started on November the 27th with the 7th annual Liverpool Firefighters Christmas Parade. This was organized by Diane Warner at Stephen and Trina Parnell, along with a large number of volunteers. This year's parade was bigger than ever and really set the mood for Christmas. After the parade, there was a party for the kids at the fire hall with hot chocolate, hot dogs donated by HGS. There was a sold-out comedy show at the Astor Theater featuring Canadian comedian Ron James on November the 30th, followed a few days later by the kickoff of the Christmas on the Mersey events, the tree lighting ceremony, and parade of lights. This year's event was spectacular with big crowds in attendance, the trees at the Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center lit right to the top, music from the Wickwire Choir, First Nations involvement in a flotilla of canoes with torches, a ceremonial grass dance followed by hot chocolate cookies at Lean's. What a great way to start Christmas on the Mersey. And the weekend was packed full of events and activities in South Queens. There was food galore in the form of community breakfast specials at local restaurants and community dinners. And I think this was really the first year that all the businesses got involved as well, and I think it was really, really a sign of really cooperation. There were unique events like the Artisans Gallery, the Privateer Days Home Tour, which was spectacular this year, an art show on display at the Town Hall, and so much more. The weekend concluded with the Kiwanis Christmas Concert on Sunday evening, an 85-year-old tradition in Queens. North Queens was another happening place to be, with a very busy weekend, including a packed day and evening on Saturday. It all began with a livestock parade, followed by activities for children and families at the fairgrounds. Families had an opportunity to make decorations for on their Christmas tree, enjoy cookies and delicious homemade soups and chili, not to mention a visit from Mr. and Mrs. Claus. The mayor lit the community tree at Caledonia Corner, which was followed by a Christmas parade. The street was packed and a great way to start the festive season. Mayor Daigle and all the members of council were present at events over this period. And actually, you wanted to clone yourself. There were so many events happening there. The Region of Queens staff decorated a float and participated in Liverpool and Caledonia parades with council and staff walking the route. It is always great to be able to get out throughout Queens to show support of events and activities and to talk with residents. These are just a few of the events that kicked off Christmas season in Queens, all within a 1 week period. There are an astounding number of events and activities that take place in Queens this month and all year round, really. I'd like to recognize and thank the volunteers and organizers and the many, many other people who put their hands, hearts, and souls into making Christmas in Queens special. Thanks to all of you who helped make Queens a wonderful place to live. This is a snow place like Queens. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor McClellan. We'll now move on to item 6.0, approval of minutes. Could I have a motion to approve the minutes of November 22nd?
I so move.
So move, Councillor Fisk. Seconder? Councillor Muse. Discussion? Hearing none. Ready for the question? All those in favor? Unanimous? We have nothing under 7, dangerous or unsightly premises. Under economic development, 8.0, we have 8.1, request to waive policy 58, the warehouse, Port Medway Lighthouse Park. Councillor Fisk, would you like to take the lead?
It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality waiver policy 58 to allow for consumption of alcohol on municipal property at the warehouse in Port Medway Lighthouse Park. On the evening of Friday, August 18th, 2017, and that no liquor be sold, given away, or consumed prior to the Region of Queens Municipality being provided a certificate of insurance from the appropriate authorities, confining that at least $2 million of liability insurance is in place for the event, with the region as named insured and a copy of the effect liquor license from the province of Nova Scotia is provided to the region, and that all municipal, provincial, and federal laws be strictly adhered to.
We have Councillor Fisk as the mover. Do we have a seconder? Councillor Frilly. Discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor? It is unanimous. Under 8.2, management group orders, project 2016 PACE program. Do we have an update? CAO?
Yes, this is just a brief update of a project that our economic development staff have been working with Dow on, and in fact, we've just received the final report on the agenda in January for discussion around potentially looking at a PACE program. So we'll bring that to council, likely the second council in January.
Any comments or questions? Are you ready for the question? Ahead of myself. And under 8.3, Fort Point Lighthouse, call for RFP 2017. Again, update by CAO.
Yes, so next week we should have out the RFP for the operation Fort Point Lighthouse for next year. We learned a few things this year and going to slightly modify our requirements, and that should be on the street by next week, due back first or second, probably second week of January. So I just wanted to give council a heads up on that.
Excellent. Yes, Councilor Frewick?
With the existing contract that we had in place, did we get any feedback about how it went or how their summer actually handout?
Yeah, we learned good and bad. There's good and opportunities for improvement, obviously. It was a very interesting thing. What we key thing that we learned is that we missed perhaps some of the fall tourism opportunities for providing things. So that probably is one of the main things. I'm trying to make sure we have coverage through, you know, around Thanksgiving, through the week. But I think definitely it was of interest. There was some different comments that came back on, you know, you know, some of the changes, but things that we've learned from that we'll incorporate in the RFP.
So I believe their numbers were quite high, considering that they weren't, you know, it's the first year not having it open as a tourist attraction, so that has to be encouraging.
Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Richard, under the you say there's a contract that's written between the person that whoever business or whoever wants to run the lighthouse. So under the contract, are there specific requirements that we require them to do, like keeping open hours and make sure the hours are open as the time that they're supposed to be, that sort of thing?
Yeah. So last year was a little more open, looking for a variety of interests. We're going to specify a few requirements around hours and dates open this year, and that'll be the main modifications to the solicitation document.
So we'll move on now to 9.1. Governance and the creation of in-camera records. Deputy Mayor McLeod, would you like to lead us in that?
Okay, there's a card right here. Is there a motion? It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality amend Section 58 of the Rules and Forms of Procedure of the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality so that it allows for the taking of a record during in-camera meetings. It is further recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the taking of a written record during in-camera meetings with a view of capturing the process of giving direction to staff.
Do we have a seconder? Councilor Fisk? Discussion? Councilor Fancy?
To fully understand this, what difference is it going to make here?
It will provide for a written record internally for the process that is covered during in-camera for future reference.
Okay.
Councilor Fairley?
Have we not had that in the past?
We have, to my understanding, had individual notes on action requests through in-camera.
Oh, okay.
But now we will have a formal set of minutes. Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Are those minutes available to the public?
No. They're internal records.
Internal records.
Councilor Kelly?
Were those in-camera sessions that come out of in-camera to actually be voted on in council, that's not on the minutes from that particular council session?
Any actions resulting from in-camera discussions that require expenditures will come back to regular council.
That's right, but they don't appear on the minutes from that council session, like that council session from the morning, from like that continue.
The in-camera?
You have the council meeting, then you go in camera, then you come out of camera to make decisions in council. That's not part of those minutes that come out.
It will not be part of the in-camera minutes. It will become part of the regular council
meeting
when we come back to regular council.
And that will be noted in the minutes, right?
That will be in the minutes, and it will be available to the public
right.
for any action we do take in regular council meetings.
Yeah, so a result is there for public in the minutes from the council session.
Any motion that we make
yes.
in the public session
right.
of council is available to the public.
Right.
Deputy Mayor McLeod.
I believe what Councillor Kelly is asking is the discussions that we have in camera?
No.
No, okay. So it's just the decision comes
whatever
out of.
Was yeah. discussed okay. in council, in the chambers.
Any other discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor? It is unanimous. Thank you. Under 10.1 capital projects, a verbal update from Brad Rutter. We'll perhaps defer that for a few minutes while we find Brad.
Okay.
And we'll deal with 11.1, pre-budget approval for grants to organizations. Councilor Fancy, would you like to take this one?
So recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve a pre-budget amount of $46,500 for the grants to organizations in advance of promoting the program for the upcoming 2016-2017 budget year.
Do I have a seconder? Councilor Muse, any discussion? Councilor Frilly?
One question is that, you know, this amount's been holding steady for a few years, and because everything is going up, the number of requests, the cost for everything, has any consideration ever been given for moving this amount up? And I know it's a budget item, but the same as everything that's in a budget, it does tend to go up, so.
And I do understand your concern. I think today we're dealing with the pre-budget approval. An increase in the amount would certainly be a discussion during the budgeting process and in the final deliberation and approval of the budget.
Just a point of clarity, is that this budget year or should that be 2017, 2018?
17, 18.
Yes, it should
17,
be.
18, yep.
With the approval of the mover and the seconder, would it be a friendly amendment to change that to 2017, 18? Do we have your agreement?
Very good.
Thank you. Okay. Any other discussion on the motion? Having friendly amendment made to the motion, it's now 2017-18 budget. Ready for the question? All those in favor? It is unanimous. Thank you. We will now step back to 10.1, capital projects verbal update. I would ask Brad Roeder to please give us a brief.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll talk about a few of our current capital projects we undergo here. Landfill, this year's work involves the construction of a third second generation cell and related works. The first cell was constructed in 2005 when we constructed the second generation landfill site, and it was upgraded from a natural attenuation first generation site.
The second
cell,
please?
The second cell was constructed in 2010. This third cell will last a further 10 to 12 years. The cell floor is fully constructed. We have had limited crew on site for the last couple of months. What we've done in addition to the cell floor is we built a large roadway ramp structure that enables the trucks and equipment to enter and unload at the top of all the cells as they gain in height. Additionally, a site access roadway was constructed or is being constructed, and that's to replace the roadway to replace the one that was located where the new cell now is. Berms built, erosion control of slopes, ditching, staging areas constructed, and of course, borrow pit reinstatement. There's plenty to do on this site. We've got 715 acres there in total. And with that amount of land and that amount of different assets on that site, there's always lots to do. And we'll continue to work at that till the end of this month, and then I'll probably wrap that up for this year. Next project we'll talk about is the skate park. And as most of you have heard, there's some new faces here, so they may not all have heard, so I'll just go through the skate park a little bit here. What the skate park features consist of, it's a few different elements, and the prime, the base element is the bowl. It's a large multi-depth bowl. It's 5 feet, 7 feet, 9 feet deep. There's varying lines to that bowl, somewhat irregular shape, you know, with different hips, blends, tapers, and so on in it. It's a modern design, and it's very progressive. It's quickly gaining the reputation. In this case, thanks to Facebook, as one of the finest examples in the country. And that's a fact, people. One of the finest examples in the country. And that's just not self-congratulatory, promotional kind of talk. I mean, it's been proven through, you know, comments across the country, right? Additionally, a flow section is constructed. And the flow section is the first of its kind in the Maritimes. It's somewhat like a bowl, only much shallower, but it's got lesser depth, but it's very fluid. It's got very fluid lines, and it has some end clam shells, which is basically like quickly contoured curves at the end. This, with interconnecting loops or wave-like rollers, it's a very fun element. Now, it can be used by less experienced skaters to learn the basics while progressing to the bowl. But also, it's more complicated than it looks, because when ridden by experienced skaters, it's very challenging from what we hear. And it's great fun, this particular element. The third element is the traditional street course. It has ramps, stairs, walls, flats, quarter pipe, etc. Lastly, there's a viewing stand that will be constructed. That viewing stand is donated by Loyal Construction, and he'll try to get at that this year, although this year's closing up fast. I met with him last week. All of these elements are interconnected by skatable walks, so they're all tied together, so you can ride one through the other, and it's well done that way. This construction has been challenging, I must say. I mean, we started with the site. It wasn't a very big site. The site was well located physically, but it required a lot of work. There was a lot of bedrock, some boulders, some large boulders, and a lot of unsuitable overburden and so on. Now, after we had our work done, and during our work, concrete work was late getting started. We were waiting for a design to get finished. That took a little time. That got finished late August. Tenders were called. The contract was awarded mid-September. The contractor, of course, fall of the year, contractors are busy. Contractors tied up on another project and other projects till around mid-October. There, we didn't get the first pour until November the 7th on that site. First concrete pour was November 7th. Now, on November 7th, you like to be wrapping up jobs. You don't like to be starting jobs, right? Because the weather can flip on you pretty quickly. However, contractor persevered, brought lots of people in, and he got a good, you know, we got a good jump on it, considering what limited amount of time we had pours, and did it all without compromising quality. However, the pours are pretty much wrapped up for this year. It's too cold, temperature's too low to allow for a proper setup to permit the finishing. For instance, if you pour at 8 in the morning, 8:30, by the time that sets up, you're there to 12, 1 o'clock in the morning to get the machine trial. So, and that's with warmer temperatures than we have now, so we're kind of shut down. Be a little bit, they'll probably do a small little pour in one of the little walls in the street section, but that's more of a wall pour, not a flat pour this week. So what's done? The bowl walls and floor are cast. About 50% of the apron is finished. The flow is cast, with the exception of one clamshell apron, and the interconnected and common apron to the bowl. The street section walls, ledges are partially cast. Remain in the spring, when the weather and temperature returns, we'll complete the bowl and flow aprons. We'll complete the street section, complete the interconnecting links and pathways, the viewing stand, what's left to be done, complete the site grade and retaining walls and landscaping, of course. Part of the retaining walls are constructed now, by the way. Depending on favorable weather conditions, you know, we'll have our grand opening more than likely this May, although if it becomes less favorable, could go as late as early June, although that's probably pretty conservative, right? But overall, I mean, we've made great progress considering our late start. We thought it was important to get it started rather than just let it go till next year. First of all, we're going to be busy next year, but let this thing get going. Kids are growing up all the time there, and it won't be just kids using. But I want people to understand, I think everybody does, but it bears repeating, you know, you make no mistake about it. I mean, our skate park is something special. You know, other communities have new or relatively new modern skate parks, but ours is something special. Because skate park design, as I said, it's progressive. Your latest one is better than the one before is better than the one before. And our designer, you know, he's internationally recognized as the premier skate park designer. So we were quite lucky to be able to get him to do this. The design, the construction, the connectivity, it's all at its highest levels. And, you know, this is going to be a very large asset to our local community and the province beyond, no question. And a great tourist draw. Lastly, I just want to talk about the bike park. The bike park, with the recent skate park construction, we were finally able to act upon an opportunity to begin development of another core recreation facility. Now, this being a multi-featured off-road bike park. Bike parks are highly popular and very well used. And if you think about it, everybody in this room, really, what kid doesn't ride a bike? I mean, everyone rides a bike. Give these kids and the youth a fun, structured, and safe facility to enjoy, and it'll go a long way into developing a solid, healthy, and active lifestyle well into adulthood. And it's just not youths that use this and that will use this. Young and old adults alike enjoy a well-constructed bike park. Now, to get to a well-constructed bike park takes a little time. It doesn't happen overnight. It's progressive. It takes time. You start out with a core of several key features, and you build out from there. Now, what did we do this fall? Basically, we created the necessary mass civil work, built some hills here and there with some of the surplus fills and so on that we had to develop the initial and essential key elements. You know, wet weather, cold conditions, and so on. I mean, we stopped after a period of time because everything was just turned into mud. So we had to stop that. But, you know, next year, I mean, we'll pick away at it. We'll complete some of these sections in as much as time permits. And over time, we'll look for further development. But, you know, with what we have, we finish that off a little bit. We'll have a good start on it. But, a good bike park never really finishes. It just continues to evolve over time through trails, through the woods, and so on. Now, been thinking about it. With the bike park, the skate park, and Queen's Place together, you know, we have a good critical mass that would appeal and attract youth and adults alike. This on a local level, and as an attraction that will draw people in. And there's been plenty of comments by very experienced users that they've already made plans for next year to attend. You know, and it's gaining a reputation. Our skate park and bike park is a go-to place, you know. So we have accommodation in and about the general areas. With Queen's Place, it's going to be great. You know, the bike park supports a skate park supports a bike park, and you've got Queen's Place being the anchor facility overall. It really is quite ideal from people that are way looking at it from the outside. I mean, it's really quite ideal, and I think, you know, the region should be proud of all of this.
Any comments or questions of council? Yes, Councillor Kelly.
I think it's fantastic, and just so that you know, there's a ton of kids between the age of 8 and 15 that are getting BMX bikes for Christmas, because that's kind of like where my world is with kids, and they're all getting new BMX bikes. That's how excited they are. The other thing is, too, I mean, opening in May, I hope that we're looking at, because it is an attraction, it is the bike park, the skate park, Queen's Place. I mean, we should be planning events now. We should be looking at BMX events and skate park events that are coming to or that are out there that we can attract to come here, because, like I say, it won't be long before we're the number two park, because they're always, you know, so quickly someone will overtake, and there'll be new advancements in skate parks and stuff like that, and we really should be shouting that out. I don't think I've seen enough press releases about the Queen's Skate Park, or Mersey's Skate Park as it's called. And I think the region should be shouting more about that, because it needs to reach far and wide, and it already has through Spectrum Skate Parks. And I had actually left a message, and that's what I was checking there before, on their Facebook page to find out. I'd asked the question, if someone had said, they had said something and said, you know, what are the events out there? What can we bring here? Like, where, you know, you guys are the experts, you know, what should we be looking at bringing here and planning an event here, you know, either at the opening or just after the opening, you know, to bring as many people and highlight this skate park as a go-to event arena, basically.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I think it's wonderful that we are creating something for our youth and our community that was years ago, you know, we didn't take the importance of it then, but now we are. And in youth engagement, as we've known from the past experience with kids coming to council and asking, you know, what can they do and things for them at Queen's Place, this is wonderful to be able to offer them. And, you know, it's got so many benefits there, not only for recreation, but also for the business community as well, as Councillor Kelly indicated, you know, BMX bikes. We have businesses here that can certainly benefit from sale of the of skateboards, of bikes, of all the accessories, and I think it's really great to have that in our community.
Any other? Yes, Councillor Fancy.
Yes, Brad, that was a wonderful presentation. it's so great. I have to go back to the people who first had the vision, and it's nice to see a community that has a vision, and when we're going forward, and it's and we can be so proud of that. Now, again, along with what has been said, hopefully they'll be able to rent some out too, because there's going to be a lot of kids that can't afford them, you know, the BMX bikes and things. And I wonder even if at Queen's Place, if we can be able to look, maybe I shouldn't even say it here, but looking at maybe having a few bikes or something. Because it's going to be, like I know, like my nephew will be coming home this summer, and like he probably won't be coming with a bike. And there's going to be kids up to school that can't afford them. It's to be able to get them out there, if there was some way that we could be able to have something that we could have on site, just to make it a little simpler for them and get more people involved.
Yes, CAO?
Just through the mayor to council on the two things on the events and those sort of things. Those are the sort of things that actually put Diana, our physical activity coordinator, on the spot. I'm hoping that she'd be looking at. I know that she's been talking to some groups about events, and that's a great idea for rentals. I don't know the whole thing, so I just wanted to note that. I hope she's taking note of those.
Yes, Councillor Frehlich.
Just one question, Brad, about now that we've stopped for the year, the coasting hill, is that going to be open for the winter, and is there any danger?
We've improved that, actually. what it was, straightened up
in
a little bit, widened out. That the coasting hill, with the current configuration of the bike park and what we and I have in my mind for the future, where it's going to look like, you know, years in the future, that won't be affected, because there'll still be lots of runoff area. Mm-hmm. So we're not touching that. That's still a core feature for the wintertime, right? Now, that doesn't mean if you're a youngster or an adult, you can't skate up the top and back. But we're not going to carve that up at all. So that remains as you see it now.
So you can easily get to
That's
it
right.
around the
yeah.
skate park.
Yes, Councillor Fisk?
Thank you, Brad, for the great presentation on the skateboard park. Very interesting. I think it gives us a great opportunity to spread this out into the rural areas, starting with North Queens, Caledonia area, and Greenfield, Port Patoon, Port Midway, those areas. It's a great time. There's lots of younger generation there that will probably take advantage, and I really, and their parents will bring them in, I'm sure, once they get it out to them, because that's just a great opportunity. And I'll be one of the first people to be there. I'm not going to try it out.
Oh,
I try.
Marty Cooper.
I just don't have a wife.
Any other counselor? As discussed during this council meeting, the skateboard park and the bike track will be great additional recreational opportunities in Queens, and they will provide economic benefits not only to the businesses but to the motels and to the restaurants and stores. So it's a great opportunity in Queens, and as mayor, I'm pleased that we're able to take these projects forward. And I want to thank Brad today for the update. It's very appreciated. I would now ask Diana Johnson, Recreation Coordinator, to give us an update on the Physical Activity Leadership Program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll try to be brief, however, it may be difficult. It's week number eight, and in the past 8 weeks, a lot has been accomplished. I'll start with some of the items that we discussed early on, which was the citizen survey. It's now complete. I expect to have results sometime in the new year. I do have results from other surveys which indicate walking is one of the biggest or most popular physical activities that people want to participate in. One, because it's fairly easy to do. So I anticipate that our survey will indicate similar. But I have no preliminary results other than that. The Duke of Edinburgh Awards is up and running. And as far as my participation in it, it's complete on my part, other than doing some admin work and promotion work for them as well. I think they gained about 7 participants from their open host the other night, so full steam ahead for them. Increased opportunities in outlying communities. These are just short-term activities. These are also based around some Thrive money that we've been given. So there will be some after Christmas opportunities in Port Mattoon. We'll be putting on pickleball. Greenfield, they'll have a pound program. And North Queens is still not sure, but hopefully pickleball. We did discover that there are some fitness activities already happening in North Queens, and we didn't want to infringe on that, so we are looking at pickleball out there as well. So those are short-term opportunities just to get some momentum and hopefully interest in some programs and get people out there participating. The winter rec brochure will go out in January as well. I'm not going to take much credit for that. That was a lot of Dana's work and Megan's work from Queen's Place, so looks like a great production, so you'll see that in your mailboxes. School assessments and programs. I did have the opportunity to travel with one of the school liaisons to all the schools in the region of Queens. Discussed various things, including barriers to participation and programs they'd like to see, the longevity of infrastructure in their areas. A lot of different and interesting conversations were had, so information was certainly, it was good information, I guess we'll just say. So still working with them. Some of the short-term programs there, again, will be Wickwire is looking to have an after-school program and maybe some soccer. Greenfield will be doing, I'll be leading actually, the Rockstar Ring programs out there. And then there's some long-term objectives that the Greenfield Rec Association has, and I'm helping them with some grants and determining exactly what they want. I'll leave that to them to share that information. North Queens, we're trying to introduce the Trailblazer program. It was present there a few years ago, and it's something they're interested in again. I don't have a lot of information about it, so I can't really share much in regards to that at the moment. We're looking at having a men's basketball league at Liverpool High School and then soccer either at Wickwire or the South Queens Middle School. Community outreach and engagement is continual. I'm meeting lots of great people, going to some really engaging meetings, working with the Community Health Board, the School Board, a lot of community members and rec associations. So that's going well, and I know a lot of counselors have introduced me to a lot of different people, so again, very helpful. In regards to Queen's Place and the pump track and skate park, some of the things that we're looking into there are through the Making Tracks program, which is at the Ecology Action Center. So they have experts, I guess, in skateboarding and BMX riding that will come down and train some individuals to kind of train the trainer program. There are already 2 leaders present in this community. I think they're teachers at the middle school. So hopefully what they can do is assist us in training more youth or more young adults so that we can provide them with proper safety, proper techniques, and a few other components when being at the skate park. Obviously, there will be some issues with helmets and things like that, and we want people to be prepared before the park even opens. Some other things that we're looking at doing are the mobile skate park, and again, a bit more difficult to get off the ground because we do have to have a base of materials. The Making Tracks program will provide us with some skateboards, helmets, and BMX bikes to get a little program going in some of the outlying communities, like you said. So we'll be able to take this stuff to them and maybe do it in a school gym or an indoor facility that will allow us just to teach some of the basics and around safety and things like that. There's also a Tri-A-Ride program, which would be more for the BMX. And again, these are tried and tested programs that are successful in HRM. but they're all willing to assist us in developing and even loading some equipment, so it should be, if we can get that off the ground. I know Steve is working hard at getting some opening programs going, and I don't want to take anything away from him, so, and I don't want to minimize them, so, but I know he is working on having some, you know, grand opening programs and people in place for that, so. Quickly going to go through the rest. Those were a lot of my short-term goals. I'm going to get into some of the other ones. Active transportation, I'm working on that with Councillor Johnson, and we're looking forward to doing some more on that in the new year. Trail mapping and assessments, this is me just out kind of getting myself familiar with what is present here, infrastructure-wise and trail-wise, and then generating some ideas in my own head, but not moving forward very quickly on that. Volunteer strategy, which is something that, again, I think I touched on with the council before. Obviously, we're lacking some leaderships and a pool of people to pull from to provide programming and different things. So we'll be looking at building a fairly decent strategy to have to gain some support for those type of things. New physical opportunities or physically active groups, looking at hiking and biking. And taking advantage of the water courses that we have around here. Again, a lot of that comes down to having some champions and leaders to run or guide those groups. 55 plus games is something that you should have on your radar as well. Happening in Lunenburg County in September 2017. Currently, we do not have many participants from this area, and so it's something that I would ask you to look up on their webpage, 55 plus games. It's a variety of activities ranging from bridge to BMX biking for that matter. So something for everybody at any level. And it might be a worthwhile thing for seniors or 55 plus individuals for socialization and for physical activity opportunities. So I think it would be kind of cool. Leadership development, again, very low on my list of accomplishments at this point, but something we need to talk about at some point is building leaderships through the youth females, making females a priority. And also the Queen's Plate Passport geocaching has been fun for me, just because I've been out kind of checking out the sites. Something that is easy to do, and again, a really cool and quick way to be physical. I've been promoting that through the Workplace Wellness Program, which I will highlight as one of the funnier things that's been happening in December, a fair bit of participation from municipal staff in this building and some counselors, so we're going to move forward with that for the next couple weeks and have a good time. There are other things on my radar, but I think I'll leave it at that. It's been a fairly busy 8 weeks, and I've been, you know, asked and approached about various things, and I'm kind of just pushing things down so I can accomplish some short-term activities right now and moving forward.
Do counselors have any comments or questions? Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Very good report. You're a busy lady, my gosh.
Thanks.
Many of which have been here short weeks. Cross-country skis. I haven't heard too much about that lately. When I was younger, my family had, we kind of, you know, just got out of that because we used to have a cottage and use the back trails. But now with all these trails that are available for public use, has there ever been any interest in maybe providing that through our recreation department? Because we do have snowshoes.
Yep.
But no cross-country skis or anything, and be great for our trails.
Yeah, certainly one of my objectives is also to increase the inventory of supplies that we have through the rec department.
Or even getting the word out to the public that if they have it, get back into that.
That's right.
Again.
When you have that stuff available, you know, people will come and use it, but also, yeah, making the trails more publicly aware.
It's
so,
perfect for those.
Just in my experience from the last couple of weeks and being out there and on them, it's a great place to be physically active,
mm-hmm.
and there's no cost to you. So,
exactly.
Certainly something we can look at promoting for sure.
Okay.
Yes, Councillor Fancy.
Yeah, getting to that point, there was some individuals that were willing to groom the outside trail last year if we ever had enough snow at Queen's Place to be able to make that into a cross country because everybody wants to do something like that, where you can't, when it gets enough snow, you can't be able to walk on it.
Yeah.
But if the snow is there, that they could groom it to be able to make it into more packed down, so you could be able to work with that. So maybe something you might want to just to add to your list. Just what you need, another thing on your list. But Dave Lewis was one of the ones who was a fellow in Milton who was willing to try to do something like that, to try to make it, if we get the snow, you know.
Yeah.
He was going to do it last year, and it started to get the snow, and all of a sudden it rained.
Right, and that kind of cross-country skiing is best, too, when it's packed down, or you have a specific trail for the two skis. So there is some maintenance involved there if you want to make it a huge success. But certainly, cross-country, I love cross-country skiing, so it would be great.
The second thing here is that what you had mentioned to me earlier, which I feel sad about, is that the with the schools, with the school system as it is right at this particular time, if you want to introduce a new program, you aren't allowed to bring it into the school.
That is correct.
Right now, so that limits us to what we can, what you can do, and I guess there's nothing we can. I guess we just have to sit and wait on that, even though it's, you know, it's not school related. It's still, you aren't allowed to introduce a new program. Are you?
Right. The policy is if you had a whatever the document
existing,
is.
Yeah.
An existing document or program in place that you can continue that and have access, but no new programs would be allowed.
Councillor Fisk?
Just one quick comment. You brought real energy to Queens. Really enjoy what you're doing.
Thank you.
Super job.
Thank you.
Any other councillors today? Councillor Frill?
Diana, you brought up Trailblazers in North Queens. Is that something that you've heard about in South Queens? Because there was, I think, Councillor Kelly had mentioned it before in Pine Grove.
Yeah, Councillor Kelly had mentioned it to me. The first time I heard about it was when I visited North Queens. The principal there had said that they ran it after schools there, and I think it was a funded program of some sort. So
I think
I don't
got Thrive, possibly.
Yeah, so I don't even know if it exists, but I've been trying to look into it and see what happens. But if we could do it under a Thrive program again, be great. We have to have the people to lead it again.
Yeah.
So that was my concern when they brought it up. Do we have, is there someone in place that can lead those programs?
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Kelly, did you have anything further?
Yeah, well, on that point, we talked about Trailblazers, but more the point, because that was just a connection with the school program, right? And funded through something through the schools. But it was just during the school year, and we were looking more at the community, and I know there might be some leaders as well for scouting. We wanted to bring scouting here to Queens County. We have the Girl Guides and the Brownies now, but that's just for girls, and scouts could be girls and boys together. But we have a huge population of boys that are between the ages of 7, 8, and 14, so that there's a huge opportunity, I think, to have scouts, and I know there's a lot of parents that are hoping that there'd be something, because there's a lot of sports going on, but there's nothing that actually, you know, engages those youth on a regular basis all year round to get out in the wilderness and to learn, you know, maybe survival skills or things like that, or learning how to, you know, to live in the woods or be in the woods or, you know, enjoy that kind of space and whatnot as well. So that was one thing. So I hope, you know, if you want, I can work with you on that one to identify the leaders in the community that might get something going. You mentioned Rocks to Rings. Is that a curling kind of program?
It is. And again, most or some of the schools in the area have the supplies to do it. The Greenfield Rec Association bought their own as well. I did contact the sports development coordinator to ask her if she knew if there was a specific, it used to be guided through Sport Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
I don't think it is now, so I do have some curling experience, and I did offer to do it for Greenfield, just because they have the gear.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because I know that the in 2014, when we had the Canadian Juniors here, that was a program that, well, it's an ongoing program, and I'll find the website, because there's a place, and it's fairly cheap to buy these things, and we arranged for, at that time, or just after that, or just before, there is somebody that's in place, I think they're from Halifax, and they go around to the different schools and teach them curling, and I know that would probably be a really great thing to help out our current curling club as well. But the kids loved it, and they bring it into the school, and they can do it on dry and on ice or whatever, and they do it in their gyms, and they absolutely loved it. And it was, and I think I spoke to Adam Luzner at the time at the Wickwire to say, you know, is there money in your budget for the school to buy this for the school? Because it was fairly inexpensive for something that they got so much enjoyment out of in the gym. It was, you know, I thought that it really, it didn't seem like a lot to go out and purchase that. So there is a website, I think, and if it's still going, that it's part of, it could be Nova Scotia Curling or something like that, or Canadian Curling. but there was a lot of good information. I mean, it was so inexpensive that I almost considered buying it myself and donating it to the school.
I think we did buy it.
Because I did that.
I believe
so,
yeah.
That's good to know. The other thing was soccer, yeah, just what Jack was saying, Councilor Fancy was saying about, it was the soccer program already in place, because that's an ongoing continuing program that they do in January every single year at the WIC Choir, maybe at South Queens, but so will that go ahead in January if there's still a work to rule?
So as far as we know, the soccer program hasn't gone ahead for about a year. There is a soccer program that I think Sarah Tutty and her husband John Tutty run, but it hasn't. The soccer program at WIC Choir, I don't think, has gone for the last year. So our issue right now is finding gym time for the programs. There's a fair number of other programs being run evenings and after school.
Right.
So that was kind of the issue. And again, this was all on part of our conversations prior to work to rule. So we haven't had conversations since.
As I was being asked about the soccer program for kids in January, and wondering, and someone was wondering whether it would go ahead, and I thought, well, if there's no work to rule, then probably
right.
yes, but if there
yep.
is, probably not. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
I think we threw it in the brochure, I believe, just hoping that this work to rule might be over, but if work to rule is not over, then it probably won't start.
Right. Okay.
So now I'll go to Deputy Mayor McLean.
In addition to Councillor Kelly's comments about the Rocks to Rings program, I know the Liverpool Curling Club has the Little Rocks program.
Yep.
And if you get kids interested in the school, then they may want to be part of our curling club, which they're trying to initiate or encourage more involvement
Absolutely.
In that program,
yeah.
so it would be a really benefit for
Just
that.
Just on that point, too, though, they've opened it to younger kids, and they call them ice cubes.
If I could ask,
yeah.
does that one speak, and
I
then
know.
We'll move to the other?
Also, once all these programs are in place, you know, and we're working on, and the kids are getting more active, a couple years ago, I had been involved in a program where there was recreation discussions, and there was a program, it was sort of just an initiative that said active kids, and active kids, when they involved in all these little programs, were given a little sticker.
Right.
And they kind of, you know, it could be something we could talk about a little bit more, but
yeah.
it gives recognition, and these kids had their stickers, and they either put them on their school books, and all the other kids would say, what is all that? And then
right.
they can, so you kind of get the word out, you know, that I'm an active kid, and this is what I do. So maybe we could talk about that.
Yeah, I like the idea.
Yeah.
So have we run the gamut today? Excellent. Thank you for the interesting presentation, Diane. Appreciate that. So we'll move on to item 13, planning. I have nothing there today. 14, Queens Place Amira Center. Nothing there as well. Reports. 15.1, RCMP monthly report for your information. Any questions, comments on that? We'll move on then to 15.2, Bylaw Enforcement Officers Monthly Report. Any comments or questions on that? 15.3, Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center Monthly Report. Any comments or questions? And 15.4, Building Inspectors Monthly Report. Any comments or questions? Excellent. Everyone has read their package, I'm sure. They're doing well. We'll now move on to 16, other. Under 16.1, counselor appointments, I would ask Councilor Muse to lead on this one.
I move recommendation. It's recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the following committee appointments for a two-year term. Pension Committee, Councilor Kevin Muse, Queens Place Advisory Committee, Deputy Mayor Susan McLaren and Councilor Kevin Hughes, Planning Advisory Committee, Councilor Heather Kelly and Councilor Raymond Fisk, and Deputy Mayor Susan McLaren, Region 6 Solid Waste Steering Committee, Councilor Brian G. Frelick and Councilor Gilbert Johnson, South Shore Regional Library, Councilor Brian G. Frelick, Queens Community Health Board, Councilor Heather Kelly, Highway 103 Committee, Councilor Jack Bancy, Southwest Nova Biosphere, Councilor Gilbert Johnson, and alternate Councilor Raymond Fisk, South Shore Housing Action Coalition, Councilor Jack Fancy, Emergency Services Committee, Councilor Raymond Fisk, and Councilor Gilbert Johnson.
Is there a seconder? Councilor Fisk. Any discussion? Councilor Frelick.
I just have one question. Region 6, myself and Councilor Johnson are on that. Is that an alternative position?
For him.
For Gilbert? Okay, because we have that noted in the, as an alternate under Southwest Biosphere. So I just didn't know if they had changed the requirements for us. I don't know if that needs to be changed or not.
That's what I was going to bring up, was the alternate position.
So noted, it will be altered.
Alternate for Councilor Johnson.
Yes. Any other comments or questions? Ready for the question? Who's in favor? It is unanimous. Thank you. We'll now move on to 16.2, Municipal Courthouse. I would ask that we have Councilor Frelick.
It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality table this report pending consideration of lease renewal of the Thomas Verdahl Library at Rosignol Cultural Center.
And I would ask CAO Richard McClellan to give us a quick update on this.
Yes, I second.
Councilor Kelly?
Perfect. So today's not a decision point for council. We're providing information of the assessment of the potential of turning the courthouse into a proper library. We had some basic work done and some schematics done and an estimate done, and that's information for us. Our next effort is to turn to discussions with the Rosignol Cultural Center and Mr. Hines at what may be required and the costs for lease renewal in the current facility, and at that point we would return to council to look for a decision and direction. There's one point of clarification that I need to make in on the second page. I mentioned the annual operating costs, and I used not our current year budget, I used the previous year's, and so the current year vacant operating costs are less. They're $14,242, not $21,000, what was in there previously. That's deep information. So with that, the next step with tabling this report is we'll be back with further information with regards to the current facility and the lease renewal consideration.
Any comments or questions of council? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I just know that there is concerns about the $2 million figure. I guess I can discuss this now. But the $2 million figure, and it's kind of kept climbing over the architect's 49's report and working with whoever they work with to come up with the figures and the design. And I really feel that could be scaled down quite a bit. I mean, you go with we often use the term catalog, that best. And I think, you know, we certainly want something that Brad's always saying, something to be proud of, but you have to be realistic. And if that can be done in a re-looked at from the design point of view and really what works within the library, what their requirements are and what that building is able to accommodate with some minor adjustments in designs and architecture, then we could certainly work better on that.
And certainly I understand your points. I would like to make known the fact that $2.2 million is an estimate, and when you start tearing apart a building that was built in 1854, expect the cost to go beyond $2.2 million for the existing proposal. That's not an exact figure, that's an estimate. Councillor Fancy?
With this cost factor, I mean, there's so many factors into these things. Like, of course, that the we don't know exactly what it's going to be. Don't know what we can get from other groups where everything is all going to. When we look at the library's input into this is what the library would like to have to make it, or is this what Architect 49 says it should look like? I think I'd like to know what would the library be willing to have? That kind of thing.
Yeah. CAO.
So through the mayor to council. So the program was Architect 49 also used DMA Consulting,
yes.
Who were engaged with the library board, and on the third page of the report, they find their program that identified required 3,500 square feet. So that's based on best practices and recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, if this was something that council wanted to dive into, the board could discuss, we could discuss this. Really, what this is a starting point or information that takes us from the original notion is, can we potentially put a library in there?
Right.
And are we talking like $100,000 or a couple hundred thousand? You know, we're clearly working from a little bit different order of magnitude there. And so it's just an information point.
Good, if I may. The second part of that would be, when they say 3,500 square feet, that's taking the existing library and moving it there. That's taking the other two rooms in the back, that's taking that into that space too. So if you took that out of the puzzle, it would substantially make it
smaller.
Right?
Through the mayor, not quite. They built this based on, regardless, the current library didn't have anything to do with the space definition. On the third page, they define what would be required, you know, 1,400 square feet for collections, and the print's not that great, but so it defines how they break down and they get to that thing. In fact, I don't believe there is a community area in the new design.
Yes, Councilor Frill?
Two things. First was, when we approved this previous council, the amount, we were told that we were just looking at what the courthouse was able to hold the weight of the library books. That was our first step. That was all we were looking at. Now we have a full out drawing, and we were assured that that wasn't going to happen, that we were just paying for that one part. So I'm confused why that has gone to the next step. And I'm wondering how you can negotiate a deal with the current library when you have this in and it doesn't have the actual figures and it doesn't really reflect exactly what we're looking for. So I think it changes the negotiations a little bit when you're talking about a $2.2 million library versus a monthly fee. So I'm not sure I'm liking how this is panning out already. So
if I may add to your comment, today we are providing under transparency the ability for the public to see the report on the courthouse. That is the intent of today's motion, to bring it forward, and staff will need to review the issue as we move forward, including the lease, and it will be coming back to council for further direction. Did you, CAO, have anything to add on that?
Okay, yeah, so I'm not clear why we had a disconnect on the scope, because the work provided was what I expected into looking at the feasibility of moving the library there in terms of space. And, you know, wage is obviously one of the components. And so what we approved is what we received. So it was a feasibility assessment. And in terms of where does it put us for negotiation, well, I guess this is just facts, and we'll move to that next thing. With the Rossignol Center, I'm going to want to make sure that we understand the building condition and that any potential capital improvements are identified and captured within that. As this report, as everyone understands, the library is a very important community feature, providing accessible programming. So that is an important decision. So this is just information that will help us as we go to that next step.
Councilor Kelly?
Yes, okay, I get it's just for information purposes. What I want to point out is that when I first started hearing about this, and obviously this was during last council, that about I started hearing about the cost of what the region was paying for rental for our current library in that building. And then all of a sudden we have an empty courthouse. And then you heard about, oh, let's move the library to the courthouse, and can we do that? And now all of a sudden it's one of those things where you're way down the line talking to architects and having drawings and talking about 2.2, like putting figures out there, and people are thinking, oh, well, we're going to build a 2.2 million extension onto a courthouse so that we can have a really awesome library. Where, backing up a bit, there was a public consultation, and there was loads and loads of different suggestions that came forward to what to do with the courthouse. And I don't believe that any of them were actually looked into by staff. Were they looked into by staff at any length at all and discounted as a possibility? Or are there any other discussions going on that these could be possibilities for the courthouse? I think that for this discussion, I just wanted noted that, you know, we're looking to, we don't think that the library is in the right place. Yes, I agree. We want to save the money that we rent on that, and we have an empty building, and we're trying to stuff one in the other because of those two issues, rather than looking at the bigger picture to say, you know, is this the right thing for our library? Is this the right thing for our community? And are there better uses for that courthouse that we should be looking at that would better serve our community? And I was at the public consultation, and I believe that there was a lot of good points made for the use of the courthouse, as in attracting, I mean, we have an historic heritage building here. It could be, like, there was lots of information put out for the, that it could be part of our museum system, it could be part of a law system. You know, there were lots of other things that could have developed for that, that would actually be another attraction for our community. And I know that if we have a really awesome library like Halifax, it can be attraction too. But there, that could use that as an attraction, rather than putting a library in a building like that. It's just really for local people, unless it's really awesome that it's gonna be enough to attract people to come to our library from outside our community. But as a tourist attraction, it could help our tourism industry by doing that. So I'm just bringing that up, that those are some of the things, and I don't see, I've never had any feedback as to whether staff had gone down the lines of actually looking at some of those other suggestions.
The CAO?
Yes, so through the mayor to council, so things on that. So yes, we had a good public session, and there were a number of ideas that came forward. Following that, we issued a request for expressions of interest to see, okay, does anybody want to do any of those ideas? And none came forward, which was why when we brought the report to council to consider, you know, do we sell the building? Do we move something else there? And the recommendation was, that point was, okay, with nothing else that has come forward for a recommendation to for an alternative use, was to assess the viability of the library. And that's all the step bar we are at this point, is we have some information around that. There's clearly opportunity to continue to examine alternative uses for the library, and if anybody has a proposal, please bring it forward. You know, vacant buildings are, you know, we don't like them vacant, so if we had something come forward, that would be very well received.
I'm just not so sure this RFP system or it's connecting with the right people, or it's connecting with the right groups, or the information's getting out there that this is what the region wants to do. You know, an individual person wouldn't necessarily say, well, this is a great idea. I think it takes a group of people, and maybe that whole system of actually getting that information out in the community, that this is really a process that the region's interested in, is connecting with other people. Because I'm sure that some of those other buildings, they didn't come forward. The region may have contacted them and say, I think this could be a good fit for you, you know. So I think that maybe there's a little bit more, not just putting an RFP out there, but I hope there's more of that sort of like proactiveness going on from the region to groups that they identify, because they obviously see those things more clearly than maybe some of the groups in the community that aren't getting the information directly, or having it presented to them in the correct way to see the vision that maybe the region would have for those buildings.
Thank you, Councillor Kelly. I think the issues that we've discussed today are getting a little beyond the intent of the motion. Certainly staff and the public will now be aware of the issue of the courthouse, and I'm certain that this file will move forward. Any other questions, comments of council before we move on? Deputy Mayor.
I just have a comment regarding the the intent to have this study done for moving the courthouse, the library to the courthouse. And currently the library, we pay $60,000 rounded off, plus extra expenses, about $80,000 a year to use to rent that space where it currently is now. And with the municipality owns their own property and, you know, can maybe move something over there that would not necessarily save the taxpayers' dollars, but it would be prudent to kind of look at that and look at what opportunities there are to utilize our own asset that we have in our community. And there are really, really serious issues with the current location. And I think that's why we looked at possibly using our own initiative to move the library, or possibly move the library, because it would be a cost saving down in the future. And any pardon me, improvements to the current library would be a leasehold improvement, which would go back on the municipality as an expense. So I think that was kind of the thoughts about utilizing our own properties. Would this work? It may not, but we're out there trying to feel for that.
And thank you, Deputy Mayor, but again, I think we're straying off the motion.
But I want to make that point.
We're covering topics that are supplementary, all important and very informative, but are we ready for the question at this point? Mm-hmm. All those in favor of the motion? All those opposed? Thank you. Passed. 16.3, Postal Banking Resolution. Councillor Kelly, would you like to move this one?
Sorry. I never know where we're at in this.
16.3.
Well, mine ends at the library.
Last page.
Oh, gotcha.
Back to last page.
Thank you. Postal Banking Resolution. Whereas the federal government's Canada Post review will conclude in the spring of 2017, the government announcing decisions on the future of Canada Post, including whether or not to create a new service and revenue stream through postal banking. Whereas there is an urgent need for this service because thousands of rural towns and villages do not have a bank, and nearly 2 million Canadians desperately need alternatives to payday lenders. Whereas postal banking helps keep post offices viable and financial services accessible in many parts of the world. Whereas postal banking has the support of over 600 municipalities and close to two-thirds of Canadians, Stratcom poll 2013. Be it resolved that the Region of Queens Municipality supports the addition of postal banking at Canada Post. Be it resolved that the Region of Queens call on the federal government to instruct Canada Post to add postal banking with a mandate for financial inclusion, and be it also resolved that council directs staff to forward this resolution to other local governments in Canada for whom contact information is readily available, requesting favorable consideration of this resolution to the Federation of Canadian Municipalities.
Seconder, Councillor Johnson. Discussion? It should be noted that banking is an issue for many residents in North Queens in view of the fact that Caledonia no longer has a banking system. Are you ready for the vote? We'll give Councillor Frelick one moment to get back to the seat. All in favor of the motion? Unanimous. Thank you very much. Before we move to in camera, I would like to state that our planned council meeting in January will be January the 10th, and that will be our next council meeting unless we have an urgency to call one prior. I would now entertain a motion to go in camera. Councillor Frelick, seconded by Councillor Kelly. Any discussion? Ready for the question? All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. We are now